Ben Franklin said, those who are willing to sacrifice essential liberty for a little temporary safety deserve neither. Hi, Scott Horton here for the Bill of Rights Security Edition from SecurityEdition.com. It's a playing card-sized steel Bill of Rights designed to set off the metal detectors anywhere the police state goes, so you can remind those around you the freedoms we've lost. And for a limited time, get free shipping when you purchase a frequent flyer pack of 5 Bill of Rights Security Edition cards. Play a leading role in the security theater with a Bill of Rights Security Edition from SecurityEdition.com. The Scott Horton Show is brought to you by the Future Freedom Foundation at FFF.org. Join the great Jacob Hornberger and some of the best writers in the libertarian movement like James Bovard, Sheldon Richmond, Anthony Gregory, Wendy McElroy, and more for a real individualist take on the most important matters of peace, liberty, and prosperity in our society. That's the Future Freedom Foundation at FFF.org. Hey everybody, Scott Horton here. Ever think maybe your group should hire me to give a speech? Well, maybe you should. I've got a few good ones to choose from, including how to end the war on terror, the case against war with Iran, central banking in war, Uncle Sam and the Arab Spring, the ongoing war on civil liberties, and of course, why everything in the world is Woodrow Wilson's fault. But I'm happy to talk about just about anything else you've ever heard me cover on the show as well. So check out youtube.com/Scott Horton Show for some examples, and email scott@scotthorton.org for more details. See you there. Hey everybody, Scott Horton here for LibertyStickers.com. If you're like me, then you're right all the time, surrounded by people in desperate need of correction. Well, we can't all have a radio show, but we can all get anti-government propaganda to stick on the back of our trucks. Check out LibertyStickers.com. Categories include anti-war, empire, police state, libertarian, Ron Paul, gun rights, founders quotes, and of course, the stupid election. That's LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. All right, y'all. So, I'm Scott Horton. This is the show. Thanks for listening. Our next guest is the president of Veterans for Peace, Leah Bolger. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Glad to be here, Scott.
Well, I'm very happy to have you here. I'm very happy to have y'all's support on the show here. I'm quite proud of it. If I had the money, I'd pay you to let me pretend to be sponsored by you, but I'm glad I don't have to.
Well, we're glad to be a part of your show, and you've been doing great work for a long time, and we're happy to be able to support you.
Great. Well, I sure appreciate that. And you know what I really appreciate is this thing that you wrote for Alternet, and I think it was published some other places too, Murder from the Skies, U.S. Creating New Enemies Where There Were None. And
right.
This is about your trip to Pakistan. You went with them to Pakistan, correct?
Yes, I went with the Code Pink delegation. There were 31 of us, mostly Americans. There was one Canadian, and mostly women, although there were some men as well. And we ranged from age 22 to 83, I believe.
Well, I like the way this starts out. You talk about, well, geez, what it's like to just live in Waziristan. I think that was your original title for it, right? It was Life in Waziristan. Well, tell us about it.
Yeah, it was Life in Waziristan 2012 AD, and the AD stands for After Drones, because We met with several men who were leaders of their families from Waziristan area, and they told us how their lives have changed, and they speak of their lives as we do now in the United States about before 9/11 and after 9/11, and they speak of their lives as before drones and after drones. And so that was the hook for my subject line. I think Alternet changed my subject, but that's the point, is that their lives have been completely changed, and not just from, you know, the killing that's happening from the drones, but the presence of the drones has actually changed their way of life and has created a real feeling of ongoing terror, if you will, because it's a form of emotional and psychological warfare to have these drones there 24 hours a day, and the people living on the ground never know when something is going to launch and you know, and strike. So this is a communal society that lives and works and communes together, but now they're afraid to do that. They're afraid to be in groups of more than two or three for fear of being targeted by these drones. Children will not go to school anymore, so now they're raising a generation of children who have no education because the children are afraid to leave their homes. They're afraid to have the normal wedding celebrations, which would normally be something where everybody would come to, and they would be dancing and drumming and singing, and now they're afraid to have these big group gatherings for fear of being targeted. Funerals, for God's sakes. Funerals are being targeted. So it's really changed their way of life. And now they've also become suspicious of one another because the CIA provides these chips, GPS chips, that they can be planted to indicate where a quote, militant might be or live. And so when some compound is targeted, then everybody is suspecting someone else of being the one that planted it there because, you know, we don't have any troops on the ground to provide the intelligence. So the intelligence that the CIA is getting is coming from paid informants. It's suspect. And that's another point that I'd really like to make is that the drone program in Pakistan is being run by the CIA. It's not being run by the DOD or the Department of Defense or American military. It's being run in secret by the CIA, and there is no accountability whatsoever.
Right, because the whole thing is secret.
Right.
Now, I don't know. There's so much to go over there, but I want to get to what you said about just, children not being able to go to school, whatever. I grew up in Austin, Texas, which is basically paradise compared to the situation everybody else who ever lived in the history of the world, pretty much. When I went outside to play when I was a little kid, I never had to worry about anybody killing me. But just imagine, seriously, for the audience out there, imagine being, I don't know, 7, and you want to go play with your friends in the neighborhood, and you can't go outside at all, because there is a very real risk that buzzing sound in the sky will blow you up to death, for real, and you have to deal with that every day. Imagine that. And that's the USA doing that to these people.
Right. You know, when there was the bombing at the movie theater in Colorado.
Right.
And I remember the pundits saying, oh, my gosh, you know, now I'm afraid to let my children go to the movies, and how awful this was. It was, they were really traumatized by that. And I thought, my God, can't you see? Can't you turn it around in your head and realize what we are doing to these people? Their lives are terror. They're living in terror every day. And I don't understand why the basic average American human cannot understand this and cannot put themselves in the shoes of the people we are harming.
Yeah. Well, of course, the real answer to that is just because of the TV lie by omission. I mean, if TV will never, ever, ever, ever tell you it's important, but will tell you that all this other crap is important, well, then, I mean, what are you to make of that if you're just a regular person in the world? Dancing with the Stars gets all the attention and killing people in Pakistan doesn't. It must
right.
be because Dancing with the Stars is that much more important than killing people in Pakistan. Or else,
right.
what explains
right.
the priorities of the TV people? That's the kind of way, that's how people reason these things out, you know?
Well, no, that's exactly right. But, you know, something I learned in Pakistan which surprised me is that the people in Pakistan who are very much against the drone program, but they are fed the same kind of propaganda that Americans have fed, that these drones are very precise and they only kill bad people, and that there are very few non-combatant deaths. And I was really kind of taken aback by this because but what happens is that the Pakistani government does not want their people to know that children and women and non-Taliban people are being killed. So they, you know, the reporting that they hear, the Pakistani people hear, is like a little crawl on the bottom of their TV screen that says, you know, drone strike north of Nuristan, 8 militants killed.
Mm-hmm.
And it never mentions, you know, the age or the name. It doesn't verify anything. It just assumes that if they're dead, they're militants, which is exactly what we hear. So there's, you know, part of that is because it's just very difficult to know who's been killed by these drone strikes. The area that they weren't targeting is rural. There's no cell phone coverage there. So the only phone coverage is landlines. And the landlines are operated by generators, and the Army controls the power to the generators. So the only information that gets out is very spotty, and it has to be, you know, sought people have to go up into these dangerous areas to try to document these deaths, the ages and the names. Also, their cultural norms require burial within a very short period of time compared to what we're used to here in the United States. And then another thing we found out, the reason why there's no very little documentation of women being killed is that it is a cultural taboo for the Pashtun society to give out the names of women. They consider it a breach of privacy, and they don't allow pictures to be taken of women. So there's no documentary evidence of a woman's life. There's no birth certificate. There's no photographs. There's no, there's no high school yearbook. There's nothing that we would think of as documentation of someone's life here in the United States. So we saw pictures that this one gentleman had taken, a Pakistani journalist who risked his life many, many times to go up and try to document this death. And he showed us a picture of a man holding just a shard of his wife's dress that she had been wearing that he found in a tree when he came home and found that his whole family had been blown up. And so he was trying to document her life with this piece of cloth. And this is heartbreaking and shocking, but something that the United States doesn't address at all. And they just keep insisting that, oh, no, we're only killing bad guys. But none of these people, when you look at the statistics and how many people have died, and there's a report out that came out just before our trip. It's been put out by Stanford and NYU universities talking about the number of people who have actually been killed and the number of people who were, quote, innocent civilians. Very high number. But I would contend that everybody who has been killed by a drone is an innocent civilian. Number one, they're innocent because until they've been proven guilty of something in a court of law or they're wearing the uniform of their state's military, then they're civilians and they're innocent. So these people that are just being targeted, these are targeted assassinations, and they're based on nothing more than the way people are dressing. If they're a male between, the age of 16 and 60, they're considered a militant and therefore fair game. So this is targeted assassination. It's absolutely illegal. It violates international law. And I cannot understand why, the global population is not more upset about this and is not speaking out and sanctioning the United States, taking us to criminal court.
Yeah, well, I guess they're just mostly not in any position to do so. I mean, we're the hyperpower and they're the everybody else. That's kind of how that works as far as accountability goes, unfortunately. But I think it's so important the way you talk about, who's a militant. Yeah, militant is somebody that we killed, doesn't even necessarily mean a fighting age male with a rifle in his hand, even though, of course, being a fighting age male with a rifle in your hand doesn't mean that you're guilty of anything at all, much less being a member of the Haqqani network or whatever. And here they are, speaking of which, fighting the Pakistani Taliban, not Al-Qaeda, which doesn't really exist in Pakistan anymore at all anyway. They're fighting the Pakistani Taliban. At the same time, the Pakistani government is backing the Afghan Taliban, which is actually America's enemy, assuming the occupation of Afghanistan. So the whole thing is completely ridiculous anyway. They didn't just kill that guy's wife. They killed that guy's wife for no even close to a rational reason whatsoever. It wasn't like, we gotta kill terrorists and sometimes there's a little bit of collateral damage. No, they really are just going around making new enemies out of people who aren't necessarily enemies of the United States at all by doing such things.
Absolutely correct. And, one thing it was impressed upon us by these tribal leaders is that they have a strong culture of revenge and they do not forget. And these killings, even if we were only getting the bad guys, but we're not, as you know, this is counterproductive. This is not just ineffective, it's counterproductive. It's making things worse. We are creating enemies where there were none, and this is going to go on for generations and generations. Frankly, I'm not sure that we can repair the damage that's been done, even if we stop drone attacks today. The people will remember So we've created enemies for the indefinite future, as far as I can see.
Yeah. Which is, you know, great news for Raytheon investors, but for the rest of us.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, we got, and this is the thing, too, where, you know, I do understand. I'm not trying to just be, you know, patronizing or whatever. I do understand that. I was raised this way, too. I think it's the government schools more than anything else. We're raised to believe that Americans are free. Americans have rights. Everybody else, life is cheap. And it really is okay to kill them. And it really doesn't matter. And the further away they are, and the more salt water especially there is between here and there, the more fine it is to go ahead and kill them or hire Gaddafi to torture them or whatever it is. People just don't care. So maybe it's worth pointing out again that Faisal Shahzad was a Pakistani-American. I think he was a citizen. I forget if he had actually gotten his full citizenship yet. But anyway, he had a wife and a good job and a big house, a professional job with a good salary, and he owned his own house and all these things. And he went to Pakistan to visit some family on vacation, and he saw the results of a drone strike. And he joined up, not with Al-Qaeda, friends of Zawahiri, how would he have found them, right? He joined up with the Pakistani Taliban. And they're the ones who taught him how to make a bomb, fortunately, not very well. And he came back to the United States and joined up, you know, he had just joined up as a soldier on their side of the war. And he tried to bomb Times Square. And thank goodness, a civilian, not a government employee, stopped him. And the thing was kind of a dud anyway. And no one was hurt. But imagine if that had been a successful truck bombing in Times Square back in 2010 when Faisal Shahzad had tried to set it off. And he told the judge said, how could you do this when there's women and children around? And he says, you kill people in Pakistan every day, and you don't care whether there's women and children around. You don't even look. You don't care at all. So I'm just like you, judge. And the judge sends him to life in prison, of course, which he deserved. But the point is, we're going to have to keep dealing with that here in America, where life actually has value.
Let's say we could kill all the bad guys tomorrow, and everybody, we would eliminate all the horrible people who, you know, are quote, terrorists. But, you know, 100 American children would have to die in the process. Would that be acceptable to the American people? And absolutely not, you know. So I don't understand, you know, why it is that we cannot value the, we have to, this is something we're going to have to backtrack and start thinking about. It's going to take us generations, I think, to start teaching our children that their lives are no more valuable than the lives of an Afghan child or a Pakistani child. And we're going to have to get away from this jingoistic, you know, we're number one, this American exceptionalism that rules don't apply to us because we're the biggest, we're the best, and might makes right, and all these, you know, these things that we're brought up believing. We have to start thinking in terms of a global community that we're all of the same value, and that is going to take a long time to do, if it's possible. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Declaration of Independence doesn't say the king doesn't have a divine right. It says we all have a divine right, and his is no more divine than anybody else's. So how do you like that? So, you know, that's a good way to spin it. It's not that Americans are worth as little as an Afghan. It's that Afghans are just as precious as Americans are. That's what it is, you know? Come on. That's not too hard. It shouldn't be too hard to teach people, you know?
Right.
I mean, hell, that's half the war propaganda, right? That's why we kill all those Afghans, is to protect all the ones we're not killing, because we love them so much. Right?
That's right.
And just
think
of all the poor Afghan, you know, women and young girls who, you know, now they get to have an education and be free like us because of how hard our government works on their behalf.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like if we can take all that cognitive dissonance and straighten it out, you know, in just one direction instead of the other, then we'll be all right. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me. All right. I wanted to get back to, I guess, hopefully giving you a chance to describe more about what people told you about living with these drones. I think something I learned in this Washington Post story about the Gaza Strip about a year and a half ago was about the buzzing in the sky.
Yeah.
How it's always there. And it is an ever-present reminder that we might kill you just for walking down the street. I mean, there's really not much of a rhyme or reason that you could distinguish from the ground for why some guy hiding in Nevada is killing you, right?
Right. No, that's exactly right. And so that was one thing that we were told that adds to this feeling of mental, you know, psychological warfare of this sound, and knowing that they're there 24 hours a day, sometimes up to 6 drones circling overhead. Now, when we met twice with the acting American ambassador to Pakistan, his name is Richard Hoagland, and we met with him before we went up to Waziristan and after we came back. And at the end of the second meeting, you know, and he just denied that we were killing innocent people and just really stuck to his guns. He was very offended that we were telling people that Obama has a kill list, and he just was, you know, really preaching the party line. But I said, well, sir, would you concede that this, you know, this constant presence of drones overhead buzzing and, you know, being there all the time is a form of psychological warfare? And he said, oh, well, from what he understood, that they flew, they were too high to be either seen or heard, which is just false. But instead of saying, well, you know, I can see your point, or I don't, you know, he's been told that you can't see him or hear him, so that's what he chooses to believe. And that's what, you know, Americans will choose to believe because they don't want to face the reality of what we're doing to these people. Can you imagine? You know, when I was in Chicago for the NATO protest, and there were all these helicopters overhead all the time, and I thought, you know, this must be a little tiny taste of what it's like to live in where there are drones overhead. You have people watching you all the time and wondering, you know, what's going to happen. It was very disconcerting having these helicopters following crowds of people, and you know, and this is much. That's just a tiny, you know, example of a little bit of what it must be like to have these drones overhead. So it's just another example of the party line telling people what they want to hear so that they don't have to be responsible for the truth.
Now, every time we talk about this, I think about Chalmers Johnson and his warning that you can either follow the British model or you can follow the Roman model. The British model is you just give it up. You tried taking over the world, it cost too much, and so, you know, you don't even have to say sorry, just quit. And then the Roman model is, nope, go ahead and kill yourself. And go ahead and bring your empire home and live under it, enslave yourself until you're starved to death. And that's basically seems to be the model that we're following, is we're going to end up having 18,000 different sheriff's departments flying these things around. And it'll be, I don't know, 10 years before they're all armed with, you know, guns and missiles and whatever. But soon enough, 10, 15 years from now, especially depending on, you know, economic troubles and that kind of thing. Just like all of our cops wear camouflage and carry machine guns now, they'll all be flying robots around killing people from very safe distances for their own, you know, officer safety needs. And the American people will, you know, they'll reap what they sow, because that's just the way it is. Again, it's good for the Raytheon investors. It's good for the sheriffs, and it's good for the generals. And who's going to stop the three of them working together?
Right, you know, that reminds me of a point that you know, there's been a caucus in the House of Representatives, a drones caucus now for 3 years, and mostly the members of the drones caucus are members of states that are on the border, the Southwest, although there are some others in Missouri and Nevada and some other places. And now the Senate has a drones caucus, too. It only has 2 senators in it, but... So now, you know, the whole purpose of the drones caucus is to promote the purchase and development of the drones industry. It provides jobs and it makes us safer. And so they're not going away anytime soon. You know, it's Leon Panetta was the one who said that the drones are the only game in town. So despite all these, critical reports that we're killing innocent people, that they're counterproductive, these people are very short-sighted, and they're thinking of them as tactical successes that, you know, we kill tactically, we're getting the guys that we're trying to get, but they're not looking at the strategic picture of this is making things worse in the long run, that we are, you know, creating enemies where there were none, we are fostering hatred, anti-Americanism and this idea that they're going to strike back. So it just, you know, plays into this vicious circle of we have to pay you back for a bad thing you did to us. And whether or not the actual culprits are, you know, our attack on Afghanistan, our attack on Iraq after 9/11 was not to get, you know, was completely nonsensical. We were not attacking the people who actually killed our folks. We were just lashing out. And so, you know, if we can't understand that was wrong, then how can we, criticize Pakistanis or Afghans or Yemenis who want to kill all Americans?
Right. Americans, more than anyone else, ought to understand how they feel. Don't you hate it when
exactly.
somebody kills you? Don't you want to kill them back real bad?
Right.
That's how they are, too. You know?
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, we did even pose this question to one of to a man named Kareem Khan, who has 70 members of his family, his extended family, have been killed by drones. And we asked him, what would you do if you had a drone? What would you do with it? And he said that he would, we said, would you kill civilians with it? And he said, no, absolutely not. He thinks of a soldier. Any soldier as a legitimate target, a soldier in Afghanistan, because they are, you know, instruments of war themselves, and they are in a country that they shouldn't be in. But he said, no, he would absolutely not target, the drones to New York City and kill innocent people. Even though they had this idea of revenge, he understood it to be that you have to strike back at the person who is responsible, not at an innocent person. So I thought that was interesting and an insight.
Well, they have a lot greater respect for the rule of law and individual rights there in Waziristan than we have here in the USA.
That's true. Absolutely.
Apparently.
Yeah.
That's really too bad. All right. Well. Listen, I think it's very brave that you even went over there. I sure as hell ain't going to Pakistan to take a look around. I mean, you look at this guy, the cricket star, Imran Khan.
Right.
The goons grabbed him this morning on his way to New York. I guess he's lucky they didn't shoot him in the back of the head. I don't think it's safe to do things like that, travel around opposing American foreign policy. You might end up on the receiving end of it.
Well, you know, and this is happening. Vetting for Peace has been labeled as an extremist organization by the Boston Police and Homeland Security because they don't like our position opposing the government. We are nothing. We are absolutely a nonviolent organization. We take a pledge of nonviolence, and we do training on nonviolence. We are always talking about nonviolence. Yeah, we've been labeled an extremist organization. You know, we have people being taken in with grand jury, FBI, grand jury subpoenas and with no cause. The government is chopping away at our rights, our civil liberties. It is really very frightening that if you go against the government, you could find yourself in jail without charges and without access to a lawyer. And all they have to do is label you an enemy combatant, and the government can do that now. So it's very frightening. And yes, this thing with Imran Khan being taken off a plane on his way to New York is shocking. It's shocking to us, but it's really not in this day and age, it's not surprising anymore. But I think it's just potential what's to come. It's not, and the picture's not good.
Right, it's not surprising, but we gotta stay shocked and not let ourselves get used to it. That's the thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right, everybody. That is Leah Bolger. She is a former commander in the U.S. Navy, and she is now the president of the Veterans for Peace at veteransforpeace.org. You can find this great piece, Murder from the Skies, U.S. Creating New Enemies Where There Were None, at alternet.org, about her trip to Pakistan with Code Pink. Thank you so much for your time on the show today.
It was my pleasure, Scott. Anytime.
Hey, folks. Scott Horton here for Veterans for Peace at veteransforpeace.org. I'm not a vet, but if you are, I'd like to ask you to consider joining Veterans for Peace. As you know, in matters of foreign wars, a veteran's voice is given much more weight. Well, Veterans for Peace is making veterans' voices heard in ways and places where they can really make a difference. There are more than 175 chapters of Veterans for Peace in all 50 states, working hard to eliminate nuclear weapons, seek justice for veterans and victims of war, and abolish war as an instrument of American national policy. It's the Peace Vets versus the Chicken Hawks. Join up the good fight at veteransforpeace.org. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here. After the show, you should check out one of my sponsors, WallStreetWindow.com. It's a financial blog written by Mike Swanson, a former hedge fund manager who's investing in commodities, mining stocks, and European markets. Mike's site, WallStreetWindow.com, is unique in that he shows people what he's really investing in, updating you when he buys or sells in his main account. Mike's betting his positions are going to go up due to the Federal Reserve printing all that money to finance the deficit. See what happens at WallStreetWindow.com. In an empire where Congress knows nothing, the ubiquitous D.C. think tank is all. And the Israel lobby and their neocon allies must own a dozen. Well, Americans have a lobby in Washington, too. It's called the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. They advocate for us on Capitol Hill. Join CNI to demand an end to the U.S.-sponsored occupation of the Palestinians and an end to our government's destructive empire in the Middle East. That's the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. Hey ladies, Scott Horton here. If you would like truly youthful, healthy, and healthy-looking skin, there is one very special company you need to visit, Dagny & Lane at dagnyandlane.com. Dagny & Lane has revolutionized the industry with a full line of products made from organic and all-natural ingredients that penetrate deeply with nutrient-rich ionic minerals and antioxidants for healthy and beautiful skin. That's Dagny & Lane at dagnyandlane.com. And for a limited time, add promo code SCOTT15 at checkout for a 15% discount.